Our reading for Tuesday, June 23rd, begins in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans, for a man has his father's wife. And you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. For though absent in body, I am present in spirit, and as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy and swindlers, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. This is a quick chapter. But understand that Paul is being very direct because they've got a serious problem going on. When he says it is reported that there is sexual immorality among you of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans, understand that he's saying that this offense is so egregious that even those outside the church would not tolerate such behavior. Even those in idolatrous situations in which it's common to have temple prostitutes and all these other sexual immorality going on within their even religion. He's saying they wouldn't tolerate such a thing, and yet you are tolerating this. And not only are you tolerating it, but it is commonly known, it is reported. For just a moment, let me take a quick sidebar and point out that if this was commonly known, and if it was commonly known to those outside the church, this would have been a source of derision for them to point at the church and say, see, these Christians don't live the way they say they are. And we still see that today. When people sin and they profess to be Christians, people look at them and say, well, they're hypocrites. It's not to say that we can live perfectly, but we need to be open about the fact that we make mistakes and be willing to say, yes, I made a mistake. I'm not perfect, and I do need forgiveness. But here, that's not the situation. Here he says they're arrogant about it. They're tolerating it. And if it really is commonly known amongst the pagans and those others outside the church, then it would have been a source for them to truly say, look at those hypocrites. And so as they're arrogant about this, he says, ought you not rather to mourn? Shouldn't you be mourning because your brother is sinning and sinning in a public way and sinning in such an egregious manner? Not that sin has degrees, but that this is so terrible that even those in the world wouldn't accept it. So he's saying, he's giving a rhetorical question. Ought you not rather to mourn? Well, of course you ought to be mourning over this. And he says, let him who has done this be removed from among you. You need to cleanse yourselves. I'm going to jump down to verse 6 before I continue. When he says, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? It spreads. Leaven, when you put it into the dough and you let that dough have the opportunity to rise, it has spread through the whole lump, and that's why the dough begins to rise. He says, this is not going to stay with just this person and who they're involved with. It's going to spread amongst the church. It will have an influence. And I've seen that firsthand in the past when sin is tolerated among a local congregation. then people begin to look at it and then rationalize and say, well, nobody says anything about what they're doing, so they shouldn't say anything about what I'm going to do either. Or they think, well, you know, it seems to be okay for them. Maybe it's not such a big deal. We need to realize that sin has a detrimental effect not only on one person's soul, but on everybody that they have influence over and contact with. Sin has terrible consequences both in this life and the life to come eternally. Then verse 3, for though absent in body, I am present and in spirit. I think he's telling them two things when he says I'm present in spirit. First is, you're not going to undertake this task alone. Though I can't be with you in person, know that I am with you in spirit. My heart is with you. My interest is with you. My feelings are with you. But second of all, he's saying, realize that you're not going to undertake removing him from among you by yourself. My authority is behind it. The authority of Jesus is behind it. So I think we can take both of those things from his statement there. And so then he says, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. I've already judged the matter. I know what's going on. And so now you need to deal with it. So that's why he says in verse 4, when you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, my spirit is with you, or as he stated in verse 3, I am present in spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus, that is, the authority of Jesus as head of the church, as our Lord and Savior, as our God and Creator. He says, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Understand, the act of discipline that he's telling them to undertake is not what saves the man. What saves the man is repentance. But this act is intended to push them in that direction, to make them realize the seriousness of their sin. The discipline from the body of Christ physically upon this earth is a physical representation of the spiritual separation that occurs between them and God. It is intended to communicate to them what they are losing by engaging in willful sin. So the point is to help them realize that separation and want to gain back that fellowship with God and fellowship with their brethren, leading them to repentance. So he's not literally saying they're going to be destroyed by Satan. He says, no, we're going to deliver him up because of his sin, and the intention is for him to repent. Now, does that happen every time that discipline is exercised within the local congregation? Absolutely not. Unfortunately, my experience has been the reverse. In most cases, they do not repent. That is not the fault of the congregation. It is the fault of the individual's choice. Now, I will also say that sometimes local congregations resist engaging in discipline. They wait too long to engage in discipline, and they are too far gone by that point. They have already withdrawn themselves from the number by the time the congregation is willing to undertake that very difficult step. May that not be named among us. May we always engage in discipline when it is necessary for the salvation of one's soul. Verse 6, he goes back to this idea of their boasting. Verse 2, he said, you are arrogant, ought you not rather to mourn? Verse 6, your boasting is not good. I'm not sure exactly what boasting is going on, but I think it has to do with this arrogance that's going on with them. And his point is, your tolerance is going to kill you. Your tolerance of this sin and this relationship that's going on between a man and his father's wife, this is going to be a serious detriment to the congregation and to their souls. And he says, for Christ, our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Oh, excuse me, I skipped the beginning of the verse. Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you really are unleavened. So the leaven being the sin that would spread, he says, cleanse it out, remove it from among you. You are to be unleavened, for Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, using language that would be associated with a Jewish holy day and the idea of unleavened bread. I don't think these really pointing to a specific day on a calendar, but he's talking about the holiness that is required, that they need to cleanse this leaven out and be clean because the Lord has been sacrificed for them. So let us therefore celebrate the festival not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Apparently this is not his first letter to the Corinthians as he's mentioning here, but it is the first one that we have. And he says, not all at all, meaning the sexually immoral of this world are greedy, swindlers, idolaters. I want to make a clarification here. I don't think Paul is telling us, hey, it doesn't matter who you associate with in this world. Because he later tells us evil company corrupts good morals. So he's not contradicting himself, but he is saying that we are to have an influence upon these people. He says you can't completely withdraw yourselves and wall yourselves off, otherwise you won't be able to have an influence in the world. I realize that as Christians, the sin that is in the world bothers us terribly. I'm like a lot of people in that sometimes you have that thought of wishing we could just become a commune of Christians and wall ourselves off and just be self-sufficient and not have to be influenced and not have to guard our children from the sin that is in the world. But we can't do that, because then we would cease to be the salt of the earth and the light that is out in the world. But he says, you need to be sure, in verse 11, not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if they are guilty of these things. So he says, what I was meaning is, you have to withdraw from one who is engaged in these sins in a willful manner. If they're choosing to sin, then they are choosing to separate themselves from God, and they should be separated from you as well. Same purpose as we just talked about. What have I to do with judging outsiders? Well, the judging outsiders is done by God, and it's done by His Word, inspired by the Spirit. It's not for us to stand around and pronounce judgment on people, though we will tell them the truth, we will tell them what God says, and then we leave the judgment to God Himself. Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? We are to admonish one another. We are to help one another. We are to bear one another's burdens, which means we do have to engage in some discernment with one another. God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. Do not allow this leaven to continue. Thank you very much for listening today. Please come back tomorrow as we will go into 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And please be in prayer for all those that are on our prayer list. We have a very lengthy list at this time. There are many that need our prayers and they need some assistance. And I would ask that you also pray that God be with us all.